This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump proposes extreme vetting. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka on this Tuesday, August 16th. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump is trying to shore up his foreign policy image. Hear his strategy for dealing with Islamic State.
The death toll has risen from epic flooding in Louisiana. On the other side of the country, a man has been arrested for starting a Northern California wildfire.
President Obama releases more prisoners from Guantanamo Bay. Hear how many still remain.
And the technology that gets you started with investing, even if you have less than $100.
You definitely don't want to invest the last $5 that you have in the bank account. Investing is more for cash, you know, aside from your living, you know, day-to-day living money, and aside from your emergency fund. This is kind of money that you want to grow for the long term and that you won't suffer if it falls or if you suffer some losses.
Janelle Marte at the Washington Post on getting going with investing when you have minimal amounts of cash. Her report in about 20 minutes. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump is out with a plan to fight Islamic State terrorists. For one, he's proposing a new ideological test that would only allow in immigrants, quote, who share our values and respect our people. He argued that tighter immigration standards were needed to fight ISIS with the same vigor with which the U.S. fought the Cold War. He used the phrase extreme vetting, a phrase that did not appear in his prepared remarks, and he didn't specify what exactly that would entail.
Our new approach, which must be shared by both parties in America, by our allies overseas, and by our friends in the Middle East, must be to halt the spread of radical Islam.
Mr. Trump also suggested he would ban not only terrorist sympathizers, but also those who believe in Sharia law, those who don't believe in the U.S. Constitution, and ban those who support bigotry and hatred. The speech represented a response to Mr. Trump's critics, who have expressed concerns about his experience and temperament in potentially leading the U.S. in a dangerous world. A California man is under arrest, accused of starting a wildfire over the weekend that's destroyed more than 175 homes, businesses, and other structures in the Northern California town of Lower Lake. Authorities say 40-year-old Damon Pashelk of Clear Lake was arrested yesterday. He's suspected in numerous fires in Lake County over the past year. Brian Martin is sheriff of Lake County.
Cal Fire investigators, along with Lake County Sheriff's detectives, with the assistance of the Lake County District Attorney's Office, were able to arrest Mr. Pashelk on 17 counts of arson.
Fire officials say the blaze has caused over $10 million in damages and left dozens of families homeless. Meanwhile, in Central California, a wildfire near Lake Nacimiento, about 100 miles northwest of Los Angeles, grew to more than 8 square miles. The fire destroyed 12 homes over the weekend and forced authorities to evacuate some residents by boat when it shifted toward the lake. It was only slightly contained. The U.S. prison at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, is a little quieter this morning after the Obama administration transferred 15 detainees to the United Arab Emirates. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The transfer by President Obama included moving 12 Yemenis and 3 Afghans, which means there are only 61 detainees remaining at Gitmo, down from a high of around 800. Mr. Obama is still working on his promise to close the military prison, a pledge from when he first took office. The Wall Street Journal says the U.S. usually pays foreign governments to monitor transfer detainees and underwrites resettlement costs for up to $100,000. The Obama administration has now released nearly 200 detainees, while 532 were released during the Bush administration. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. It's 10 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, how the next president faces a possible Obamacare meltdown. If you're looking to grow or relocate your business, there are three numbers you should know. 10, 2000, and 6. 10 stands for Michigan being one of America's top 10 states for business. 2,000 is the number of burdensome regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6 stands for Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climates. All those numbers add up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. That's MichiganBusiness.org to learn more.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Hey, glad you're with us on this Tuesday. If you're among those who feel the Affordable Care Act is a disaster, here's a new warning. Sarah Ferris, reporting for The Hill, says the next president could be dealing with an Obamacare insurer meltdown in his or her very first month. Sarah, explain.
So basically, these are deadlines that are coming up that we've known about for a while, but people haven't really been talking about them until some of the insurer anxiety has been popping up. So we're going to get new data early next year that's going to pretty much be a make-or-break moment for the Obamacare marketplace, and it'll be a real test for whether insurers are going to want to stay in the marketplace. And, of course, if they leave, the competition will be pretty severely impacted by that, and prices could go up as soon as that first year that we see that.
All right, so the meltdown that's mentioned in the headline of the story could mean what? Is there a worst-case scenario, for example?
Well, worst-case scenario is enrollment next year goes down significantly, and we don't see more of these younger, healthier people that the Obama administration has been pretty aggressively targeting. The administration is pretty much doing everything they can to get people who aren't signed up, who are paying these penalties for not having insurance. And again, many of these are the healthier people because otherwise they'd already be on insurance if they have sicknesses. So if we don't see that kind of data, we've already seen United Healthcare, we've seen Aetna, Anthem, some of the nation's largest insurers have said they're either pulling out or they're pulling back their expansion plans. And while there are a few insurers that have said they're confident they're making some money, It's been pretty alarming from the big insurers of what they're saying, because these guys have the biggest cash reserves, and if they're not willing to commit to the marketplaces, it's not good news for the rest of the insurer landscape.
Well, we're speaking with Sarah Ferris, healthcare reporter at The Hill. Her piece is called "Next President Faces Possible Obamacare Meltdown." All right, so you mentioned that United Healthcare, Aetna, Anthem, have either kind of backed out or dialing down their services. What does that do to the market? Does that necessarily drive prices up for the rest of us?
So it's not doing that yet, but the people who've been watching the insurers marketplace closely are saying that they're worried that this could happen as soon as the 2017 rates. And again, we're already seeing some of these double-digit increases because insurers are trying to make up for their bad estimates over the last couple of years. So rates are already going up this year. And now that Anthem and Aetna and United Healthcare are pulling out, those are some areas that may see even more extreme rate hikes just because of the competition that's not going to be there. That said, these three major insurers are not necessarily major players in every part of the marketplace in terms of they don't always have Obamacare plans in every region and every market, and there are smaller insurers that are more deeply invested in the Obamacare marketplace specifically.
All right, who's saying that this approach by some of these health insurance companies who want out is bogus, and that Obamacare is the best thing going right now?
Well, I don't know if, saying it's the best thing going, you might have to talk with someone directly from the administration for that. But there are people who've been experts watching the marketplace, and they say, it's not doomsday yet. We do still have, it's still an early marketplace. It's only still been less than 4 years that this whole thing has gotten started. But there's also the idea that these insurers, at the end of the day, are there's always going to be tension with the group regulating the insurers. So there's always going to be tension between the insurers and the Obama administration. And some people think this is partly a political strategy.
Sarah Ferris reporting for The Hill. Meanwhile, an announcement from Aetna yesterday that the big insurance company will withdraw from 11 of the 15 states where it currently offers plans through the Affordable Care Act exchanges. The company says it has suffered steep financial losses. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards is urging residents to remain patient and to wait to enter flood-damaged areas only after roadways are safe to travel on. The governor visited hard-hit areas in the Lafayette region of south-central Louisiana yesterday and says a search and rescue continues in many parishes.
The weather is improving, but we still have record flood waters. We have road closures all across South Louisiana. The water is dangerous in terms of the coverage on the roads.
Flooding has left at least seven people dead. Pennsylvania's attorney general is expected to address her job status within days after she was convicted of leaking secret criminal files and then lying about it. Kathleen Kane showed little emotion as the jury convicted her yesterday on all nine counts, including two felony perjury counts. Prosecutor Kevin Steele.
It's a sad day for the Commonwealth. The chief law enforcement officer of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, the attorney general, has been convicted of crimes involving abuse of power.
The judge threatened to jail Kane if she retaliated against the once trusted aides who testified against her. New York police have arrested a man for allegedly killing a Muslim cleric and his friend. Oscar Morrell is charged with two counts of second-degree murder in the Saturday afternoon slayings in Queens. Morrell was taken into custody after police say they linked him to an unrelated hit and run. Volkswagen is negotiating a settlement with U.S. prosecutors that could result in significant financial penalties after Justice Department officials found evidence of criminal wrongdoing in the car company's diesel emissions cheating. Today's Wall Street Journal says a settlement may be worked out before the end of the year. The U.S. was denied a gold medal for the first time since the 2008 Beijing Olympics yesterday, and it took two big stumbles to keep the star-spangled banner from playing. One of the slips cost Simone Biles gold on the balance beam. She had to settle for bronze, although teammate Lori Hernandez won silver. The other stumble secured Shawnee Miller's win in the women's 400 meters over Allison Felix. Miller of the Bahamas crossed 0.07 of a second ahead of Felix thanks to a head-first dive.
Yeah, that's so risky. I was thinking about this before.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You land on your shoulder wrong or whatever, you're done for whatever next race. Because these guys
going for it. That's crazy.
These guys, you know, often run more than one race.
Yeah.
She
wanted it.
I think there was, I know there's some controversy and Twitter is very divided over it, but I think one of the U.S. qualifiers got third place in Oregon by doing that also. Qualify for the Olympics with a
sometimes
dive.
Sometimes people do it on purpose, sometimes they don't.
Whew, man. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you're with us. You've heard the surveys that indicate we're not saving enough for retirement, so maybe now you're ready for action. But the thought of investing can feel intimidating, especially if you don't have a lot of money to work with. No worries. Janelle Marte, personal finance writer at the Washington Post, says new apps and trading platforms are making it easy to start investing with as little as $5. Janelle, what have you found?
You know, the thing to keep in mind before you dive in is that you definitely don't want to invest the last $5 that you have in the bank account. Investing is more for cash, you know, aside from your living, you know, day-to-day living money, and aside from your emergency fund, this is kind of money that you want to grow for the long term and that you won't suffer if it falls or if you suffer some losses. So that said, there are a couple of programs, and I kind of just did a comparison and looked at the different options. For example, you have two, Acorns and another app called Stash, that they make it possible to start investing with, again, as little as $5. And the way that they do that is because they purchase fractional shares of exchange-traded funds or, you know, ETFs. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to have that much money to work with, and you can still sort of, you know, invest that little bit of money and keep adding to it over time, especially.
Wow. All right. So how do they deal with costs then, or what kind of cost does the consumer or investor look at here?
So because you're dealing with such small amounts, you know, they have different cost structures based on how much you have invested. So both Acorns and Stash will only charge $1 a month if you have less than $5,000 to invest. And then once you grow your account and have at least $5,000, the fee changes to 0.25% of your assets. So, you know, that sounds a little complicated, but basically if you're just getting started, it's $1 a month, and you're able to buy the portions of these ETFs in $5 increments.
We're speaking with Janelle Marte, personal finance writer at The Washington Post. She's got a piece entitled How to Start Investing If You Have Less Than $100, and she's mentioned some services and apps like Acorns. So generally speaking, when you're dealing with an amount of money that's that small, relatively speaking, would this be a good place for parents to get started with their kids?
You know, I think with a lot of these companies are targeting millennials. They're targeting people in their 20s and their 30s who want to invest, don't really know what it'll entail and want it to be easy,
yeah.
Right? So take a look at Acorns, and Acorns has this feature where it's kind of similar to what we've seen bank accounts do. You link your debit card or your credit card to your Acorns account, and then they will track your purchases and sort of round them up to the next dollar amount. And, you know, let's say you buy a latte that costs $3.60. Okay, that means it rounds it up to $4, and they'll take that 40 cents and put it aside, and they'll do this for all of your purchases until you get to another $5, and then they'll invest that $5 based on the portfolio that you have with them. And the way they explain it is they're trying to make it easy to invest so that you're doing it sort of without thinking. It's in the background of your life.
All right, thanks, Janelle. Janelle Marte, personal finance writer at The Washington Post. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Trips to the post office, as you know, are never convenient. So why not get postage right from your desk with Stamps.com? Stamps.com even gives you special postage discounts you can't get at the post office, including first class, priority mail, express, international, and more. You'll never pay full price for postage again. Here's how Stamps.com works. Using your own computer and printer, you buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Then just hand it to your mail carrier or drop it in a mailbox. It's that easy. No wonder over 600,000 small businesses are already using Stamps.com. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Get started with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Tuesday, August 16. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Trump lays out a plan to defeat ISIS. 15 former prisoners at Guantanamo Bay released. An Iraqi media report says the latest public executions by ISIS involve dipping captured spies in vats of boiling tar. Two House committee chairmen make the case to a prosecutor that Hillary Clinton committed perjury. Britney Spears is out with a new music video, or is it an underwear commercial? Not clear. I'll look again. And who leads the Olympics when it comes to medals per capita, not just total medals? Definitely not the U.S. and China. That story in about 20 minutes. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Make Michigan your number one choice for business. We're spending a lot of money to see movies again, with numbers up slightly from a record-setting 2015. Yet Hollywood is having one of its glummest summers in a long time. How so? Searching for the next blockbuster hit? Studios have packed this year's release calendar with sequels, reboots, superhero adaptations. But Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Fritz, who covers entertainment business, says most have fallen short of their big ambitions. Ben, what are we seeing?
Well, yes, I noticed that on the one hand, the total box office receipts are up slightly this year, domestically and around the world. You would think that's good news for Hollywood. But, you know, from talking to people at the studios, I can tell this has been a very tough year, a tough summer. So I looked into it. And the reason, very clearly, is the studios are releasing a lot more big-budget movies, big-budget sequels and reboots that have, because they cost a lot, have very big box office ambitions. So essentially, you have more movies that are competing for about the same box office dollars, only slightly more than last year. So the result, when you have more supply and about the same demand, is more flops.
All right, so which ones have flopped this summer?
Oh, it's a long list, but among the movies that have either flopped or have been disappointments, at least, you've got Warcraft, you've got Alice Through the Looking Glass, Independence Day Resurgence, Ghostbusters, The Legend of Tarzan, Star Trek Beyond, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. I could go on and on, but wow, there's a few.
All right, so most, I think, as you point out, cost more than $100 million, some closer to $200 million. In terms of, technically speaking, regarding flops, that means they have not earned that money back?
Right. Now, I mean, most movies don't earn all their money back at the box office. But, you know, they're not even, you know, because they earn more money from DVDs and sales to HBO or Netflix and that kind of thing. But you can tell from a box office performance if a movie can ultimately make money. And these movies are all on a path to be losers, whether small losers or big losers.
Okay. We're speaking with Ben Fritz. He covers the entertainment business for The Wall Street Journal. He's got a story entitled Rising Box Office Masks Glut of Big Budget Film Flops. Are we in a phase where it is time to rethink the successful movie formula?
Well, it's different. I think it would be good if the entire industry could all cut back on the big budget sequels and reboots. It would be good. The problem is, it's not rational for any one studio to cut back when all the rest are still doing it. Then you're just going to be the one studio that doesn't have big sequels to appeal to audiences. But if everybody were to produce fewer and make some more original movies, and those were more the kind of options audiences were presented with, it would probably be good for everybody. But I don't think we're going to see that happen. It's the kind of thing where it's kind of like a nuclear arms race. It's tough to be the first one to disarm.
Is that right? So it's easier said than done, obviously.
Exactly.
And why is that? It's just not good material available? Nobody's interested in making these movies, or what?
What, you mean in terms of original movies?
Yeah, in terms of original
movies for adults and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
No, there's plenty of material, plenty of people want to make them. The problem is the studios don't want to invest in them. I know it seems counterintuitive, but the way Hollywood sees it these days, if you look at the economics, it's riskier to make a $50 million movie than to make a $200 million movie often.
Wow.
Because a $50 million movie, they're more likely to be flops than even the big movies. And when they're a hit, they don't make nearly as much money. When the $200 million movie is a hit, it makes you a lot of money. The profits are huge, and you can spin off sequels and theme park rides and consumer products. But, you know, your $50 million movie, you know, think of like The Social Network, you know, I don't know, a movie from a few years ago that did pretty well. But that, you know, that makes profits. That's nice, but it's not the kind of big profit the studios really want. Even more recently, this R-rated comedy, Bad Moms, it's done quite well. It's probably going to grow as $100 million. It's going to be quite profitable. But compare that to the profits of Finding Dory or Captain America: Civil War. It's not even close.
Do we as theater goers just have low standards, or do we have poor taste in movies, or what?
I think we're hypocrites. You know, we all say, you listen to surveys or anecdotally, everybody says we want originality, we want something new and different. And then what? But most original movies fare poorly. You know, most of us would rather stay at home and watch something original on Netflix or on HBO. When we go out to the theaters, if we go out to the theaters, we're more likely to see the latest Marvel movie or the latest Pixar movie. Those are the movies that are the most successful. We don't want to take risks when we go out and spend, you know, $15 on a ticket and $50 for a babysitter and so on.
Wow. Is there an argument to be made then that those originals should more go on these pay service?
Yeah, they are, and that's why you see the major studios are making fewer and fewer risky original movies, and most of the risk-taking and really good original material you're seeing on the cable TV and streaming services.
Thanks, Ben. Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Fritz. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning. Thanks for being with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, even though Nintendo says its mission is to put smiles on people's faces, one couple in Michigan are definitely not smiling, suing the video game giant because they say Pokemon Go is ruining their quality of life. The Detroit Free Press says that Scott and James Dodich have spent weeks complaining about Pokemon players trampling their landscaping, peering into their windows, and even cussing at them to no avail. So now, they're filing a class action lawsuit claiming that the game's developers have made millions of dollars while ruining the quality of life for many Americans. In their case, the couple says they live across the street from a park, which is a Pokemon hotspot containing a Poke Gym and at least seven stops that draw hundreds of players on a given day.
Jeez.
Now, is your son, I mean, we're like a month and a half now into the craze.
Yeah.
Is your son still playing, or is it kind of faded out at this point?
It's kind of faded. It's lost its intensity.
Yeah.
If he gets invited, you know, the group is going out on their bikes or whatever, yeah. I think he might be up for it. But that initial intensity is now gone.
Plus, it's been really, really hot here in New Jersey.
That's
for
true, too.
The last week, so everyone's been hibernating inside.
Yeah, you know, the high school soccer has started with workouts and stuff like that. It's just not the same time
I'm
anymore,
surprised.
So.
It still seems like it's going, at least maybe not exactly the craze it was that first week. But, I mean, it still seems like it's still going pretty strong throughout the whole summer.
I think there's always an interest when there's, like, some new monster that pops up in a spot you haven't seen before.
Okay.
That kind of that stirs renewed interest for whatever reason. So, but these poor people in Michigan, that's awful.
Yeah.
And if people lose their minds looking for these things, right?
Well,
they're trampling their property, they're looking in their home and stuff. I mean,
they're not even looking up from your phone half the time.
Yeah,
they're just kind of just walking forward,
right.
You know,
it seems
to
be
wherever it leads them.
No decency or common sense when walking on people's property.
Not the last of this, I'm sure we'll hear. And believe it or not, Gordon, we're less than a month away from the start of the NFL season, and that can mean only one thing. Time to review some of the craziest and hopefully tastiest new food offerings at NFL stadiums this year. The list was compiled by USA Today's For the Win blog. Number one on the list is Michael Simon's Mr. Porky Brat. Simon, a Food Network personality, worked with the Cleveland Browns to concoct this different take on the game day brat, topped with Carolina-style barbecued pulled pork, shredded cheddar cheese, and jalapenos.
Ooh.
Because any one of these crazy foods has to have cheese and jalapenos.
Yeah.
Those are your two main ingredients.
I don't know if I like that combo. I love brat.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure I'd go with the pulled pork.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy about pulled pork, and I don't know if I want the barbecue taste.
Mm-hmm.
In with the brat.
Yeah, it seems a little odd, but again, if you give me one, I'll certainly take a bite.
You know, 16-ounce beer to wash it down, I'll be
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Number two on the list is the Be More Stack served up in Baltimore. It's like surf and turf served over fries.
Mm.
It includes shaved Baltimore pit beef, Maryland crab dip, aged cheddar cheese, green onions, and cherry peppers.
Yeah, give me two of those.
Yes.
Okay.
And the Minnesota Vikings will be opening a new stadium this season, and along with it, introducing a lot of new foods. None crazier than the Skull Dog. It's a hot dog topped with bacon jam, yellow mustard, and purple potato chips.
All right, definitely worth a try also.
Yeah, what is bacon jam? Have you ever had bacon
jam? Who cares? It's just it involves bacon, Mike. What difference does it make?
It's a bacon-flavored substance of some kind.
I guess
so
it's
give me more.
It's like a spread of some kind.
I guess.
Like, right?
I never heard of it, but I think I want to go find it now.
Skol Dog, S-K-O-L.
S-K-O-L,
a nod to the Scandinavian community.
There you go.
In the Minneapolis area. Very good. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a California man has been arrested on arson charges for allegedly sparking a wildfire that exploded over the weekend, destroying more than 175 homes and other structures in a Northern California town. 40-year-old Damon Paschalk was arrested yesterday on 17 counts of arson. He's suspected in numerous fires in Lake County over the past year. 15 prisoners at the Guantanamo Bay Detention Center have been sent to the United Arab Emirates in the single largest release of detainees during the Obama administration. The transfer of 12 Yemeni nationals and three Afghans to the UAE comes amid a renewed push to whittle down the number of detainees held at the U.S. prison in Cuba. The President Obama aims to close. The Pentagon says 61 detainees now remain at Guantanamo. Milwaukee Police Chief Edward Flynn says the city was calmer last evening after a night of violence Saturday left half a dozen businesses in flames, and more unrest occurred Sunday night in the wake of the fatal police shooting of a black man.
We did have some incidents earlier in the evening, probably around 6 or 7 o'clock. We did have some confrontations with individuals that were heated. We made a half a dozen arrests. That seemed to have some impact.
There's a 10 p.m. curfew for teens in place until further notice. In this presidential campaign, there's yet another theory that's becoming fodder for stump speeches. In less than a month, unsubstantiated claims about Hillary Clinton's health have gone from chatter on Twitter to an attack line by Donald Trump.
Also lacks the mental and physical stamina to take on ISIS and all of the many adversaries we face.
Most of the reports on Clinton's health assert that she never recovered from a blood clot that she suffered in 2012, and she's keeping her frailty secret. But her doctors say she's fine. Trump is 70, almost 2 years older than Clinton. If you're strapped for time or just plain hate to exercise, you have a new option. The hottest gym trend these days is the 30-minute class. Gold's Gym is the latest to roll out the shorter version. Classes are changing to account for high-intensity interval training, or HIIT, work. workouts instead of 60 minutes of aerobic exercise.
Guys, I heard one time that you have to go at least 20 minutes before you start burning fat in a workout.
Well, there's all kinds of different. Some people say 30 seconds of really super high intensity can do something for
you. Tabata stuff, right? Yes. 20 seconds Tabata. High intensity, then 10 seconds rest. Yeah. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at Dell.com/radio. Glad you're with us. We all know that the U.S. is doing extremely well in the Olympics, but considering the U.S. has a population of 319 million people, is it fair to rank all participating countries just by medals received? The website Olympic Medals Per Capita has revised the Rio rankings. That means, although the U.S. leads in overall medals and gold, the Caribbean island of Grenada should be in the number one position with one medal. Kerani Jones won silver in the men's 400-meter sprint, and a population of about 107,000, Grenada is far ahead of the rest of the world. Second, third, and fourth place would belong to New Zealand, Slovenia, and Hungary. The U.S. at number 35. China, 60th. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.